I'm Matt Rocchio. Matt Berger is out for the evening, but because J.J. Bailey's not here, I don't have any clever reasons as for why he's out. He's sick. We're filling in for him. That's pretty much the entire story that you need to know. I do have a cast of different characters helping us fill out the show today. Right off the bat, Eric Mastersmith, who you can obviously hear on the hard line every day from 3 to 6 p.m., although that's going to be changing here in the next couple weeks here. Eric Mastersmith, you guys will be going
after
one
after today's show. It might be changing tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a fun show. I don't care what anybody says. Go back and listen to the 5 o'clock hour. Trust me. You will not be disappointed. So you guys will be moving to 1 to 3 p.m. Is it still going to be the hard line?
As far as I know,
my guess is as good as yours.
What I like to give that line on a lot of things in life. If you just say "as far as I know," you really can't get into trouble.
It's a safe zone. I like that. That's a smart idea.
That's my standard answer for pretty much anything. As far as I know.
So Eric Mastersmith is going to join us here to start off the show. We were going to talk baseball. We might have to end up talking television shows here in a moment. After that, Mark Lillibridge will join us at 6:20 to talk some NFL. Then we'll have Nick Hand to join us to talk about the Blues. Obviously, preseason game number 2. Underway tonight, preseason game number 1 last night. We'll talk about all the young players, both on defense and offense. And then TJ Moe, as we get a little double dose of football, he'll join us just to kick off the 7 p.m. hour talking about the college side of the game. As always, we are brought to you in this first hour by American Family Insurance and Tom Bax, and of course, the Bellman Automotive phone lines, 1-855-282-8255. That is also the text line, 1-855-282-8255. So I want to talk about the Cardinals, but then we got in a discussion about TV shows, The Wire and The West Wing. You said The Wire was your favorite show. I said The West Wing was mine. You argued that The West Wing, because of the non-Sorkin last three seasons, is brought down. I argue that if you're going to just talk about best shows ever, you can take just The West Wing in the first four seasons and crystallize that in its own thing.
No. I gave you an analogy. If I said to you, who's the best baseball player between Babe Ruth and Mark McGwire? Mark McGwire hit 70 homers in a season, right?
Yes, he did.
Does that mean he's the better player because his peak year had more home runs than Ruth? You judge it on the body of work. And the West Wing, as amazing as it was for the first four seasons, and especially if you're a political dork like Rock and I are, it was amazing. But even if you're not, if you just like great television, I still think you have to factor in the entire body of work. And unfortunately, seasons 5 and 6, 7 was better. Seasons five and six were good.
You know what? Ironically, you said the sex was no good considering the last hour. I brought him up yesterday on the hard line. Alan Alda saves the 7th season.
He was good.
Alan Alda was fantastic. I liked Alan in that Alda. Show. You know who's not so fantastic? That, of course, is the Cardinals this season. They're not that bad, as you've said a couple times. They're not terrible.
No.
But it doesn't look like they're going to be a playoff team. The Rockies losing earlier today. That means it is down to a 2.5 game lead in the wild card. Cardinals, obviously, in action against an inferior team. But you got to wonder, are they going to get it done? They've had some trouble beating some of the crappier teams in Major League Baseball, but nonetheless, do you still think the Cardinals have any chance? Mathematically, I suppose it's there, but
yeah.
Come on. They got another series against the Cubs. This one's still at Busch Stadium, nonetheless.
They have a chance. They have a realistic chance. Probably not. I mean, the division's gone. They're 6 games behind the Cubs. They're not catching the Cubs.
Nope.
The wild card is still in play. I mean, the Rockies have been okay. They're 3.5 games behind the Rockies, which is not insurmountable with 12 games left, but the problem is, what's that?
Rockies lost today, so if they win tonight... If they win tonight, they can knock it down to 2.5.
So it's
obviously intermittently at 3 right now, but they can knock it down to 2.5.
There you go. And the problem, though, is you got to jump 2 teams, because the Brewers are there, too, and they are 2.5 games behind the Brewers. So the Brewers are 81-70, the Rockies are 82-70. So that's the problem, is you got to catch 2 teams. Now, you do have 3 games with the Brewers. So I would put it around – I'm looking at ESPN right now. They have it at 6.5%. I'd go slightly higher. I'd give them a 10% chance since they do have the 3 head-to-head with the Brewers. But, yeah, pretty unlikely.
Little bit of bullpen maneuvering, obviously adding some bodies with the movement. Jack Flaherty is going to get kicked to the bullpen, and they're going to move Gant into the rotation. And also they brought up a couple other – dead arms. I personally like the move. I think Flaherty, obviously, in the future, especially next year, he's a bullpen arm, so kick him back there, start seeing you know, give him some experience about coming out of the pen in an MLB game. I like that move. It makes sense. And also, at this point, why not see what you got with Gant as a starter? think it makes sense overall.
Right. Well, and the other thing too is it's not that start's going to be a bullpen day pretty much anyway. So I'm okay with
it. But anytime you're getting you're putting a young guy in a situation where he's got to sink or swim. I've been a proponent of dropping it and just playing all young guys since the middle of August. That's pretty much what they're doing. So
look, I disagree with you. I think Flaherty's a starter next year.
You think so?
Oh yeah. I think he'll be.
See, I don't think they'll go in with that many young arms in one season. Well, I think they'll supplement the rotation with a veteran, whether it's.
I agree, but I think Flaherty will be a Triple-A starter. I think he will be.
You don't think they bring him into the bullpen next year?
No, I think he'll be Luke Weaver of this year.
Oh, see,
a guy who got major league experience but starts the year at Triple-A as your sort of sixth or seventh starter. First guy up.
See, I was thinking
if anyone falters.
Because of the presence of guys like Luke Weaver, but he wouldn't. I don't know about that. I would think because of the young arms you have in the future, just down the road, I think Flaherty's best is going to be a bullpen arm for you. And I think what he has, I just think.
You don't think Flaherty's a starter? I don't know.
I don't know.
He hasn't done great. But remember, Weaver was bad last year.
That's true.
Weaver had like a 6 ERA, and he's been dominant this year. And Flaherty's got good stuff.
He's got good stuff, but he looks a lot like Reyes did, which was he might get a couple strikeouts, but he's gonna walk somebody every time.
He does have a high walk rate in the big leagues, but yeah. I believe it was much lower when he was in the minors. I think Flaherty, they see him as a starter, and I think he will be a starter. The guy that I'll be interested in is Alcantara, because I do not think that he's ready to be a major league starter.
No, I think,
but he's a guy that throws 100 miles an hour. And if you need a bullpen arm next year and he looks good in spring training, is he a guy who starts in your bullpen?
Yeah, he's a guy who I think it's pretty set in stone. Not set in stone, but I think there's a much better chance he spends most of his time until August in the minors next year. And then he comes up as a reliever. I think guys like Flaherty on a little bit further track ahead than guys like Alcantara.
But this is a time for all these guys to make their statement for next year, because there are some spots. I think the odds of re-signing Lance Lynn are very low, so there's probably going to be a spot in the rotation.
See, I think they might up it. I think they might actually go for Lynn and actually pay him that amount.
It's possible.
I think
I'd put it at 30% be my guess.
While the league contract, I'm sure, scares them because of the fact that it failed what it did, I think it shows that this organization's aware of the fact that mid-range inning eating costs you $20 million in Major League Baseball now.
Yes.
I think they're aware of that. I think they're willing, especially with all the young arms they have, I think you got to be willing to pay a guy who's going to get you 200. Because we're going into next year potentially talking about one rotation spot, maybe two, where you're talking about monitoring the innings. I mean, with people talking about maybe going into next year with a sixth starter plan so that you can kind of stagger things out for all these young guys. So I think you definitely need to think of – I think they're definitely going to – take a long, hard look at the guy who's going to eat so many innings.
I think the starting rotation without Lynn, I'm a little more optimistic about it, I think, than most people are. And part of it is because you already have a horse in Martinez. He's at 194 innings, so you know you're good there. Walk is at 154, which is kind of low, but he's been healthy this year. And he's made 28 starts. Lance, you've got Luke Weaver, who innings-wise, will probably not have any limitations next year because he's pitched a ton of innings between the minors and the big leagues this year. Wainwright, obviously, if healthy, you have no problem giving him the 200 innings. It's can he be effective enough to earn them? And then you look at Alex Reyes, who will, I'm sure, have some type of innings limitation, but let's say he gives you 150. I'll take 150 innings of Alex Reyes and fill in the blank with 50 more. And I do think that if Lynn goes, they will bring in a veteran guy who can at least be a stopgap until some of these younger guys like Flaherty or Dakota Hudson are really ready to step in.
Luke Weaver combining AAA and the majors this year is at 124.
Is that it? Is it 124?
He put 77 in the AAA, 47 in the majors.
So
check my math there. Is that 124? 124, right?
77 and what?
77 and 47.
77-47 is 130. No, that's 144.
144?
Wait.
I said 124.
124. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Except it's been a long
day. 125 in a third inning. Is
125.
125 in a third is his total count. So I think you're not trying to put him above 180 next year.
No, he's probably 150.
You try to add 20 innings.
Yeah, 145, 155, somewhere
in
there.
So you got to find, that's 40, 50 innings you got to find right there for one starter. You're talking about Alex Reyes having to find 20 to 30 innings for Alex Reyes. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying right there. That's two guys in your starting rotation where you have to fill in almost 100 innings. That's not nothing.
No, it's not. But
you do how many bullpen starts for a regular team every year? Six.
But
we're talking about 100 innings here,
it's a lot of innings. First of all, guys don't pitch a ton of innings anymore. And you look at the Cardinals right now; they only have two guys above 155.
Wow. Fair.
So you got Lino Martinez. So next year, and if we're in September, maybe you have two guys above 155. But instead of Lino Martinez, maybe it's Walken Martinez. Or if he's healthy, maybe it's Wainwright and Martinez. Or if they do decide to stretch Weaver a little bit, maybe he gets up to 160, 170. Or if they, you know, they bring in a veteran guy. So I think you can make it work. Are you taking a little bit of a chance? You are. There's no doubt about it if you don't re-sign Lynn. But you have to ask yourself, what's the cost of Lynn? And the cost is substantial. Is he going to live up to that contract? Which I have my doubts. And what could you use that money for instead? And when you put that all together, if it's me personally, I let Lynn go, as painful as that would be, because he, to be fair, he's been your best pitcher this year, at least in terms of earned run average.
That's going to make me nervous as hell. I mean, he's the only thing he's the only consistent solid start you have in the rotation right now. I mean, Carlos Martinez obviously has the talent, but I don't think after this year you can walk away saying that you're consistently confident he's going to walk out there and be your ace. I'm just saying that's worrisome. If you take Lynn away from this rotation looking into next year, yes, there's promise, but is there not also another a very high level of, dear God Almighty, there's no veteran consistency anymore?
Well,
Wainwright's a veteran, but he's not consistent.
No, that's true.
Carlos Martinez is now a veteran, but he's not consistent yet. And then you have a bunch of young guys. You take Lynn away and start looking at that, that's precarious.
I'm just not sold that Lynn is as good as he has been this year. I think he'll regress to being the pitcher that he's kind of been before, which is still good, but isn't worth, in my opinion, the 22, 23 million, whatever is going to be in the open market to sign him for 5 years, a guy who's already, 31 years old?
Yep.
And look, people look at the bottom line ERA number, and I get it because that's the stat that we're all familiar with, and it's just easy to reference, and it does give you a really good indication, for the most part, of how a guy's pitching. And so it's fair to look at that. And his ERA is spectacular. I mean, 3.09, it's fantastic. But when you compare him to the other guys who are having similar years ERA-wise, it jumps out at you how much different his underlying stats are, how much lower his strikeout rate is than those guys, how much lower his ground ball rate is than most of those guys, how much higher his fielding independent ERA is, how much higher his batting, not to be too stat dorky, but how much higher his average batting average in balls in play is. That all shows you that he's probably pitching above his head. And I'm just leery of giving pretty big money to a guy who's 31 years old, to pay for him into his mid-30s, mid to late 30s potentially, coming off a career year when he's, in my opinion, pitching over his head. I think the Cardinals have other more pressing needs than Lance Lynn.
Well, good job on this one, Mr. Smith. Again, thanks for giving us some time here to talk a little Cardinals and television here to open the show. You're a fairly optimistic Cardinal fan from the conversations I've had with you compared to a lot of what we've heard from this season. So,
well,
with that in mind,
first of all, I'm not being from here, I wouldn't even say I'm a fan.
That's fair.
I'm an observer. I'm an interested spectator.
You're a fairly positive
but
observer.
I'm generally a positive person. Yes.
So if you're a fairly positive observer, if you want the Cardinals to get out of here, out of this season, give me three things you want to see close out the season. Let's say they're not going to the playoffs. Let's just get that out of the way. It's going to be an ugly end of the season. They're not going to make the playoffs. What do you have to see to be at least a little bit happy going into the offseason? Is there anything that helps you out?
You know, at this point, I think we have pretty much, God, we're so far and we've pretty much seen what we need to make some conclusions. I guess there are a few guys, though, that are more important that it ends well than others. And I think, for instance, Paul DeJong, I would really like to see him. Either way, I think he's probably going to be your opening day shortstop next year unless you trade for one. But you would really like to see him close it strong because he was in a little bit of a funk. And, of course, he hit the homer yesterday. So that's one guy that the last 2 weeks I think are important for. I think Luke Weaver, because of how good he's been, but yet how young he is, you want to have some confidence in him going into next year for sure. And then a third person, maybe one of the younger guys to really step up and assert themselves. Maybe one of the guys in the bullpen. I mean, if for instance, Alcantara was lights out, if he made, you know, three or four more appearances and just looked great, maybe you come to camp next year, spring training, thinking he's a guy that's obviously not ready to be a major league starter now, but maybe he's Trevor Rosenthal. Maybe he's a former starter who, because his fastball and his stuff is so electric, that he can be a bullpen guy, maybe even a back end of the bullpen guy to help you next year. I think those are the guys. A lot of the other guys, I think you pretty much know what you're going to get. And is 12 games really going to change your opinion? I mean, it shouldn't. Is 12 games going to change your opinion?
If I know
of
anything
guys?
About this Cardinals season, it's that there will be three wild changes in opinion about this team before the end of the season.
Like, is 12 games going to
change? Depending entirely on whether or not there's just W's or L's.
But, I mean, think about it. Like, Yadier Molina. What's that?
We know who those guys are.
Yeah, or like even Tommy Pham. Like, if he has an awful 12 games, I'm not going to all of a sudden say, that was a really disappointing season. I'm not sure I'm Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham is a starter. Even Carpenter with the shoulder, that's the problem with him, is this has been kind of a lost season because that shoulder's been clearly bothering him for a long time. Who knows how long or how much it's affected him. So those are the other thing is obviously, especially the pitchers, don't have anybody tear their UCL or anything here in the last 2 weeks. And someone that's, you've already have obviously Rosenthal, who's probably going to miss most of, if not all of next season. And you have Reyes coming back. Avoid any kind of long-term injuries.
There we go. That's Eric Messersmith. Despite reporting from the local paper, he is on a show with DJ Moe and Cam Jansen. You'll be able to hear that from 1 to 3 post October 1st. Until then, on the hard line from 3 to 6 PM on this station before this show. Thanks so much for your time, Eric.
Absolutely.
All right, before we hit the break really quickly, we're going to get Jim on the phone. Jim, you're on that 590 show. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, thanks, Rock. Hey, Eric, before you go, I just want to say I agree with you. I do not think Lance Lynn will be back. I'm worried, though, he might be on the Cubs. I just wanted to say really quick, guys, I don't know if you noticed, the Rockies have already lost today, and Matt Carpenter hit the first pitch out of the ballpark, so the night started off good. And I just wanted to say, as tough as it is for us to swallow, Cardinal fans, me included, we got to root for the Cubs this weekend. If the Cubs do bump off the Brewers in these four games and help us, I don't really have confidence in the Rockies. I'm just kind of crossing my fingers that it could come down to the last three games, Cardinals and Brewers.
At no point do I have enough confidence in this team where I'm just going to be betting on the Rockies.
Well, I know, Rock, you're right. But I just want to say, remember in 2011?
No, don't.
The Phillies,
no, I hate when people bring up those.
Laid down.
It's not 2006, Jim. It's not 2011.
And the Braves kept losing.
No, it's that was an anomaly.
That was a much better team. But
you know,
I'm just
Jim. Do you know how we.
Because I have no confidence in the Colorado Rockies watching.
Jim, the reason all of us remember the end of a season from 6 years ago is because it was so ridiculous, it's never going to happen again. That's how all of us remember a random end of season 14-game stretch from six freaking years ago.
It's because
it was so. Yes, it did in
2006. I was just an infant then, but it happened.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. When you were an infant and then when I was in college, that's a wide span of time, Jim. Thanks
so
much.
I'm telling you, do you think the Rockies are going to be able to close this out and win? I mean, they just got swept in a two-game series by the Rockies.
The Cardinals aren't good enough that I'm worried about the Rockies. No, I'm not basing my entire thought process here on whether the Rockies are going to blow this one. I'm not putting my faith in that one. The Cardinals are, They're not good enough. That's the bottom line. Thanks for the call, Jim. We're gonna hit a break. When we come back, we're gonna switch the topic to a little NFL football. Talking with Mark Lillibridge. I was gonna hear him every Saturday morning, I should say. We're gonna talk to him a little bit later on. Nick Hand, TJ Moe, and all the kind of crazy conversations that the fans will bring to us through the text line and the phones. 855-282-8255. You're listening to That 590 Show and the American Family Tom Bax. First hour on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD St. Louis, and InsideSTL.com.